Thank you for that special. You guys know what Noel means? Anybody? Yeah, I had to look it up. We had this conversation at home the other day. It means Christmas. It's borrowed from the French, but it's Christmas. That's what Noel is. And aren't you thankful for Christmas? What is Christmas about? It's about Jesus. It's his birth. And we know that he was born for a purpose. He lived for a purpose. He died for a purpose. He resurrected for a purpose. And he's coming again for a purpose. And thank God that he came so that he could be our Savior. I think that you have on the bulletin this morning, it says something like face to face, shoulder to shoulder, back to back. And try to put a title on there for what the sermon's going to be every week, and maybe you saw that, maybe you pay attention to it, maybe you don't, but I have really wrestled the last couple of days about what I had planned to preach today, and I'm going to be really honest with you, standing up here right now, I really don't even know what's going to happen this morning, so I'll be just as surprised as you are. I hope at some point to talk to you about that idea of being face-to-face. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God, or God spoke to Moses face-to-face like a man speaks to his friend. And that's just an awesome truth. And as we think about this whole idea of home for the holidays, getting back to and staying in the gospel of Jesus Christ, living out the gospel in our homes, having a face-to-face relationship with God is vital to that. It's critical to that. You can know God face to face. You guys believe that? See, I know some of you still are a little messed up with some things that maybe you were taught, or just your wrong understanding in your own mind, or cultural things that have informed you wrongly, but you don't need a pastor or a priest to have a relationship with God. You get that? You don't need to go through me. You have direct access to God through Christ. Now, obviously, I believe in pastors and teachers and all those things, and they're useful, but I'm just trying to tell you that you can have a personal one-on-one relationship with God through Jesus. Now, that's amazing truth. And it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how much you think you know, or how much you realize you don't know. You can know him face-to-face. And I want to talk about that, but man, the last couple of days, and really if you saw or were here Wednesday night, I just can't get past some of the things that we talked about Wednesday night. Wednesday night, if you missed it, just to kind of recap, we looked at a couple of different passages in Scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, where two men had very, very sick children. And they both believed in God, and they both cried out to God. And in one case, in the New Testament, the nobleman's son was saved. Jesus healed him, miraculously healed him. The fever immediately left him. That child lived. But David's son, though he prayed with great faith, though he believed that God may be gracious to him and let the child live, that child died. And we talked a little bit about going through trials, enduring loss biblically, dealing with grief biblically, and we prayed fervently. We prayed with faith that God would be gracious and Louise's sister would pull through, but she didn't. Sherry went to be with the Lord this morning at about 4:30. And we prayed with faith, we prayed fervently that my friend and brother John That God would give him a few more days, a few more years, but he didn't. I don't understand loss. I don't understand grief. I don't understand why some of it hits me different than others. Brother Johnny's not the first friend I've lost, and he won't be the last. But I know this. God is good, and he has a purpose. And I may not ever understand in this life. In our Sunday school class, we talked about Job. And Job's one of those guys in the Old Testament, in the Bible I look at, and the way they talk to God, I get a little scared for them. Like when I read them talking to God, I get a little nervous, and it's justified because, I don't know if you've read Job lately, but we looked in Job 40, and basically God says, who are you to accuse the Almighty? You want to make accusation to me? And Job rightly says, you know, I'm just going to put my hand on my mouth. I answered once, and I'm going to be quiet. I answered twice. I'm not going to say anything else. And God says, gird up your loins and be a man. He says, all right, you want to talk? Let's talk. Put on your big boy pants and come on, let's have a conversation. And Job really doesn't want to say much anymore. He just wants to be quiet. And so Job suffered loss beyond what any of us can imagine. And if you don't know the story of Job, just know this. God says, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. I mean, he is a just man. He's upright in all of his ways. He has integrity. And so Satan says, well, yeah, sure. You won't let me touch him. Of course he's upright. You let me take away all his stuff and we'll see what he has to say. And so you know, through the course of it all, God allows Satan. Satan takes away all of his things, all of his flocks, his herds, his crops. It's all gone. And you say, well, he lost everything he owns, but at least he still had his family, right? At least they had each other. But no, Satan came and all 10 of his children died. Can you imagine? Some of you can. You know exactly what it's like to lose a child. But can you imagine losing all of your children at one time? It's unimaginable loss. And then some people would say, well, at least I still have my health. But he didn't have that either. Satan took that away. And so he sat there having lost everything. And yet he maintained his integrity before God. He still trusted God. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a testimony. What a testimony. That was a man of great faith. So Wednesday night, I'm trying to give you a message from God's word, navigating trials, dealing with loss biblically, because loss is unavoidable. None of us choose loss. Loss is going to happen. And I was reminded by someone that loss can come in a lot of ways. Like in my mind right now, I'm thinking about the loss of health. I'm thinking about the loss of loved ones because that's what we've been dealing with. I mean, we rejoice. Some of you sitting here today, I didn't point out Brother Kevin. Everybody look up. He didn't have to turn around. Just look up here and say hi to Brother Kevin. Answered prayers in the room, right? I mean, God, and yes, we rejoice. Praise God. There are people sitting here today that we didn't know. We didn't know. And I just think about how David prayed. He said, perhaps I didn't know if God would be gracious. I laid on my face and I prayed and I fasted and I pleaded with God because I didn't know if he would be gracious and heal the child or not. Our God is a God of mercy and he's a God of grace. But remember, when the child died, David gets up. He washes himself. He gets cleaned up. He puts clean clothes on. He goes to the temple and he worships. First response. He goes to worship God. What? Listen, it didn't go the way you wanted it to go, David. The child died. In your own words, you would say God was not gracious. He didn't let the child live, and he still went and worshiped God. What a testimony. So I've got that in my mind. Loss of health, loss of loved ones, but their loss can come in a lot of ways. The loss of physical abilities, the loss of a job, the loss of other sources of income, the loss of friendships. I mean, honestly, sitting around the room, people may be watching online. You have other things that you can think about that you've lost. That loss can come in a lot of ways, right? And there's no way I could give you an exhaustive list, but I happen to believe the Holy Spirit does that work. That he's gonna pinpoint in your heart today what you need to hear. I want you to just try to remember a couple things we talked about Wednesday. You can't get over grief. You have to go through it. And we learned that you do that through two things. One is through confrontation, and the second is through conversation. And what I mean by confrontation is you got to face up to the reality of your loss. You can't pretend like it didn't happen. And we live in a society today that loves to escape reality. Like, if you just pretend it didn't happen, then it didn't happen. Guys, that's not healthy. It's not healthy mentally, spiritually. It's not healthy in any way. You have to face the reality of your loss. You have to admit that something is gone. You got to face it. You got to confront it. You got to hit it head on. You can't pretend like it didn't happen. And then you have to have conversation. What I mean by that is prayer. We need to have real conversations like Job did with God, and know when to answer him and know when to shut up. But we need to have real conversations with God. We need to pray to him like David did, and like Moses did, and like others in the scriptures we read, how they knew God and they had real relationship with him, and they could be real and open and honest. Like, what are we doing when we pretend? Okay, I get it. We do that all the time here, right? We talked about this. How are you doing today? I'm fine. How's everything going? Oh, it's going good. I did it this morning. I didn't mean to lie to some of you. Some of you asked how I was doing, and I said, I'm doing fine. The truth is, I'm not doing fine. I'm very sad today. Can't tell. I told some of you the truth. I said, I'm a little sad today. I am a little sad today. In prayer meeting, Brother Tom said that when he dies, and I don't know why you think you get to go first. He tells his family not to. He says, if you're going to cry, don't cry tears of sadness, cry tears of joy, because he's with the Savior. I told him no promises. Listen, you guys know I'm a blubbering baby. I'm proving it again today. We love each other. And if you love somebody, when you lose them, it's going to hurt. There's going to be sadness. There's going to be sorrow. And there may be even all kinds of other stuff, confusion and anger and all kinds of stuff that's all mixed up. It's called grief. And we have to learn to deal with it biblically. Here's the reality. With the exception of very small people in the room today, everyone in this room has experienced loss. True? Everyone in this room has experienced loss in some way. And we've got to learn to navigate that well. And by the way, grandparents, parents especially, you need to learn to navigate it well for the sake of your kids. They need to see you navigate it well. Man, God is so gracious to us. You understand that we live in a sin-cursed world and it's full of all kinds of tragedy. And there's going to be loss, but God can help us through that. Sister Jean talked about when her husband passed away. What a testimony. I never knew him. But she talked about how he sat in his chair and he told his girls not to cry, not to be blubbering and crying over him. And he talked to God like he was right there in the room. And Sister Jean, she'll tell you later if you want to hear it from her mouth, she said, it just felt like we just knew that God was in the room with us. It was like he was standing there. And he's talking to God, telling him he's ready to go, and then he went. And that was it. It makes me think of Enoch. He walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. What a testimony. What a testimony. Friends, when you have faith in Jesus, it changes everything. That you can be walking with the Lord today, and then you just take another step into glory. That's my hope. That's the hope I have. It's the hope that I want all of you to have. We didn't get to it Wednesday, so we're going to get to it tonight, or this morning, Psalm 6. Yeah, you're like, are we going to read the Bible today, or just going to talk and cry? I don't know. I told you I don't know what's going to happen today. Psalm 6, if you can find it, will you please stand up with me? Some of you are like, I can't believe he'd get up there and not have this all planned out. And have it. I got 5 pages of notes, if it makes you feel any better. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read Psalm 6. And Just know this. David, King David, was a man who knew something about grief. He was a man who knew something about loss. He knew something about trials. And praise God that he gave insight to those things through the songs that he wrote. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read this text together. And I'm going to ask Brother Dean, will you please lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thine hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Amen. Please be seated. We talked about those two things Wednesday night, confrontation and conversation. You're going to see a picture of that here in Psalm 6. He cries out to God, rebuke me not in thine anger, chasten me not, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He cries out for mercy from God because he recognizes that he's weak. He says, Lord, heal me because my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed. And then he asks God the question, how long? We talked Wednesday night about this. Is it sinful to ask God why? Not necessarily. Could you ask why in a way that is offensive to God or sinful? Yeah, you could. But Jesus from the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It can't be wrong to ask the question why, but it does depend on where it's coming from. We said there was a better question to why, and that question was what? 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 Do you want me to learn from this? Lord, what would you have me to do? There's a lot of what questions, and I get it. The why and the what kind of fit together. But then there was the best question we can ask, and that's who? Who? We get to know God better through our trials. Is that true? You think that you know him more through a trial, through a loss, through suffering, through grief than you did before? I promise you, you will. You're going to go through that trial. It's going to be like fire, and you're going to be purified, and you're going to know who he is if you go through that grief the right way. But here, David asks another question. How long? How long? Listen, David knew something about trials. He knew something about struggles. He knew something about grief. It was bad enough early on when Saul, the king, was after him, trying to kill him without justification, and all the running and hiding and fighting he had to do during that time. But then later, towards the end of his life, you remember his own son was trying to take the kingdom away from him. His own son was throwing him out, and he had to endure all of that. And so what Absalom did, all that he went through, that tragedy and everything that happened, listen, David, this Psalm 6 was probably written during that time when Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom. So he's writing from this place, and he knows that there's going to be trouble. He knows there's going to be this vexation of body and soul. But his question is, how long? How long? And listen, I know that when you're going through the middle of a trial, like, that's it. Like, how much longer do I have to endure this? You just want it to be over. So David says, how long? How long is this going to go on? I keep thinking about, I told you in our Sunday school class, we talked about Job, but also talked about Brother Billy Barnes. Man, I miss Brother Billy. Love him, miss him. And some of you in the room, you don't even know who I'm talking about. And it's one of the tragedies of how life keeps on going, right? But Brother Billy, Sister Melba, so encouraging to me. Man, I miss Melba too. Some of you guys are pretty nice, but none of you are as nice to me as Melba was. I mean, I would walk out of here after teaching on a Wednesday night, I'll never forget, more than once she would stop me and say, that's the best message I have ever heard. I've never heard anything like that. That was so wonderful. And I thought, you know, I said what I always do, praise the Lord, you know. But inside I'm just like, she's been in church for twice as long as I've been alive. There's no way she's never heard that before or anything like it before. She was so sweet. But she went to be with the Lord, and Brother Billy was in bad health, and he was over there. We read out of Job today, and I could just hear Brother Billy. In the middle of Job's sufferings, he just wanted it to be over. Just, honestly, he's like, just let me go home. And Brother Billy, when he was laying there in the nursing home, he's saying, I don't know why God's keeping me here. It doesn't make any sense. Why can't I just go home? And I didn't, what am I going to say, Brother Billy? I don't know. I know that God has a purpose, and when God's ready, he'll take you home, but he's got you here now as a testimony to your family and friends, to be a witness to the people in this place. I don't know, but God does. And friend, listen, tragedy is going to come, trials are going to come, difficulties are going to come, sorrows are going to come, loss is going to happen. You can't escape any of it. You have to go through it. And here's what I want you to know. There is a time limit on it, though. David wanted to know how long, and Brother Billy wanted to know how long, and maybe this morning you want to know how long. I don't know the answer, but I do know this. God will get you through it. Amen. One way or another. Amen. You know, there's coming a day where we're all going to see Jesus face to face. There's coming a day when there's not going to be any more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more goodbye. I long for that day. You can ask how long David did, but the Lord's going to get us through it. He says in verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? How long is God's mercy? How long does it last? His mercy endures forever. In case you missed it, his mercy endures forever. And over and over and over again, you can say it. I think that's one of the reasons that the Bible and the Psalms are so repetitive, because we need to be reminded over and over and over again. Listen, you're in the trial. Sorrow is enduring for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Mercy is new every morning. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And David's saying, how long? He says, return to me. Now, we could debate the theology of God's presence and his spirit with the Old Testament saints, with the verses the way they are now. But I want you to know this, sitting here today, if your faith is in Jesus, he will never leave you or forsake you. When will God ever leave you? Where could you go from the presence of the Lord? Could you ever escape from the presence of his spirit in your life as a believer today? And the answer is absolutely not. God forbid, you can't get away from him. So here David's saying, return to me. And I know this. Sometimes you've been in a place in your life and you feel like God's not there anymore. Am I wrong? Maybe I should ask it as a question. Have you in your Christian life ever felt like God wasn't with you anymore? Amen. I have. I feel like he's not there. You feel like you're praying and you're just talking to the wall or the ceiling. You feel like his presence has left you in some way. And I want you to know it's not possible. If you're his, his spirit will never leave you. Even if you feel that way, even if you're just sure of it inside of your flesh and bones, he is with you and he'll never leave. His mercy's with you. And when you might want to cry out, "Return, O Lord," well, he didn't go anywhere. So who left? Who caused that feeling of disconnect between you and God? Well, it wasn't him. Romans 8, ring a bell to anybody? Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. So he's still there and he still loves you, even when you don't feel it. So he cries out in verse 5. Remember, this is a song, so it's very poetical. It's poetry. He says, "In death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks?" He's talking about in the earth, in this time. Of course, when you die, you're going to remember him. You're going to be with him. Of course, when you die, you're going to keep giving thanks to him because we're going to praise him forever and ever. But he's talking about the testimony left here. He's talking about those who are left here. And he says in verse 6, "I'm weary with my groaning all the night. I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies." You know what David's talking about? He's talking about crying his eyes out. He's talking about literally crying himself to sleep. He's talking about flooding his bed with tears because he is so heartbroken. Now, I know some of you are too manly to cry. And I don't even know what to say about you women who won't cry. I don't know. I have a descriptive for that. I know some of you, your emotions are different, but it doesn't change the reality of the grief. We might express it in different ways, but we're all people and we're all human beings and we all have hearts and minds and souls and we're all going to experience grief and loss and sorrow and pain in different ways. And that's fine. That's fine. I have no doubt. Yeah, I don't know what's happening over there, but I got the church at Landmark on my mind and my heart this morning. It's going to be tough for them today. Because I love Brother Johnny, but we've been gone a long time. I don't see him every time we go to church anymore. It's been a long time. I've already been missing him and Penny. But it's going to be so hard for them today. And I don't know if Steve will get up and preach this morning or not, but if he does, it's going to be really hard for him today. But Steve's like some of y'all, like tears don't come to him. You know, he's like the guy in the cartoon, the tear starts coming out. He's like, "Get back in there." You guys know what I'm talking about? I wish I could be like that guy. I'm not like that guy. Like he's not an emotional guy. He's probably not gonna get up there and blubber like I do. Does that mean that he's not feeling pain and loss and grief like I am? Of course not. Of course he is. We all experience it different. We all express it differently, but you still have to confront the reality of it. You have to face it. And guys, that's what David's doing. He's saying, "I am broken. Grief is overwhelming me," and he's being honest about it. He's confronting it, and he's talking to God about it. You guys see it? "My eye is consumed because of grief. My eye waxes old because of all mine enemies. I am just worn out with those that hate me." So he confronts it, and he has a conversation with God about it. This whole thing is praying, crying out to God, "I am hurting, God. I am grieving, God. I am vexed." He even talks about his bones are vexed. Have you ever hurt so bad it hurts to your bones? Yeah. Some of you know about it. But I want you to look at verse 8. And there is a turn. There is a change. Something happens in David's heart. "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly." You see the change? God, how long am I going to suffer? How long are you going to be away from me? How long are my enemies going to have victory? How long am I going to be grieved? How long am I going to hurt? How long am I going to sorrow? How long am I going to go through this time of groaning? Lord, I am overwhelmed. I can't do anything. God, I need you to be merciful to me. And then all of a sudden he says, "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. All of a sudden, everything changes, and he says, God's heard me, and my enemies can go away because my God is going to give me victory. Isn't that great? And you just see the change in his prayer. You see the change in his heart. God has heard me. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you believe that when you pray, God will hear you? Could you just like go like this if you believe that? I believe that when I pray, God will hear me. You believe that? That changes everything. He's crying out. He sounds so hopeless. How long am I going to suffer? I'm grieved. All I do is cry myself to sleep every night. How long is this going to go on? When's the end? When's mercy going to come? It's been day after day after day, but the sun still hasn't come up. You guys get that? Day after day after day, but the sun hasn't come up. How long? How long? How long? Then all of a sudden, God's heard me. My enemies are going to be defeated because my God has heard my prayer. Friend, you and I have an enemy. We talked about him the other day. Our enemy isn't each other. We fight him, not each other. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy this nation. He wants to turn everything away from God and his son Jesus. Satan wants to destroy, to kill, to steal. That's what he wants to do. But God. He came into this world to save sinners like me. God gives us compassion. Does God care about you? Even when it doesn't feel like it, does he care? Even when you can't see it, does he care? He cares. He'll give you clarity. God may or may not tell you why. I don't know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he will give you purpose if you'll look to him. He'll give you direction. He'll give you clarity in your heart and mind. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of loss, it feels like the end of the world. Right? I mean, come on, guys. Sometimes we take the slightest thing makes us feel like our world is ending, doesn't it? I mean, some of you think the world has ended because your football team lost. This football season's been rough around here. I don't know if you know that. I mean, it's just one week after the other. I can tell whose team won or not because of the way you come into church on Sunday. I know some of you, Nelson's not here today, but some of you just loved when Nelson had to come in after the Bama game. You're so excited. And I'll just tell you, he wasn't. But he was so gracious. He came in with congratulations to all of you Sooner fans. And he was sincere. Like, he wasn't being sarcastic like you and I would be. He was serious. He meant it. We followed the Viam Wolverines because, you know, once a Wolverine, always a Wolverine. We followed them to the state tournament this year, and they got beat yesterday in state. 8 trips to state. They've only lost one. It's been since 1971 since they won a state championship. And it was tough watching those boys, especially the seniors. It's so hard on them. I mean, they work so hard. They fight so hard. And some of you know football. Some of you know. Like, it just devastates them. And my heart hurt for them and for the players and the coaches, but we have good friends on the other side of the field. Brad and Amber Pletcher, they're there supporting the Davis Wolves. They're Davis people. And I texted them, and I was sincere. Nelson taught me something. I texted Brad, and I told him, congratulations to you guys, to your team. I said, I'm heartbroken for these players. I'm heartbroken for the whole town of Vian, but I'm glad for you guys. And I meant it. I meant it. But, you know, there were people who left the stands yesterday from Vian who they may not ever get over losing a football game. I mean, seriously, like, it will haunt them for the rest of their lives. We can let anything completely derail us. I'm talking about people we love dying and losing big things in life. But I'm telling you, listen to me, Satan will use anything to derail you. You guys still with me? The smallest thing completely can send us spiraling. if we let it. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to look to God. Let me give you one last passage real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, find verse 1. I'm going to do something weird. I'm going to ask you guys to stand up with me. I'm going to ask our musicians to come before we read this. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. You guys remember what Hebrews 11 is about? Anybody? It's about faith. It talks about people, right? Can anybody tell me some of the people it talks about in Hebrews 11? Abraham. Rahab. Abel. Moses. Moses' mom and dad. Lots of people, right? It tells us about their faith. And he says, time would fail me to tell you about all the people who did great things by faith, right? So he's telling us about all of these people and what God did through their lives because they believed God. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore, seeing also we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just stop right there for a second. He says, listen, look at all the people who lived for God, who believed God, and God used them in mighty ways, and they have left us a testimony. They've left us a witness of living by faith. So consider that. And whatever you're going through in your life, get rid of things that are holding you back. The weight, an athlete trains with weights, but they don't run with weights. Get rid of that stuff. And the sin in your life, get rid of that stuff by looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, okay? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And when trials come, and loss comes, and sorrow comes, and grief comes, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to let it beset you. You're going to want to make you quit. But don't quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? What did he do? Well, he endured the cross, friends, and none of us will ever suffer like Jesus suffered. But he was willing to endure because he was looking for the joy that was on the other side. And that's what you and I have to do. You're going to go through sorrow. You're going to go through loss. You're going to go through grief. You're going to go through trials. But you can look beyond that to the joy that he has in store for those who believe in him. Do you believe in him? Then there's hope. And you can go through the grief. If you don't believe in him, friend, if you are not trusting Jesus today, there is no hope for you. You must turn to him in faith. Trust in him, and you can get through anything because he has joy in store for you when eternity comes. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Father, I pray that you bless your word in spite of me. I didn't know what to say when I got up here, Lord, and I just pray that you'll use something in the hearts of your people, anyone lost, that they would trust in you today and have the hope that we do in eternity. Whatever trial, whatever loss, whatever suffering anyone's going through now, Lord, I pray that they would look to you. They would be open and honest with you, and that you would help them through their trial. Lord, help us to follow you. Let your will be done in every heart, every life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
Page 564.